Then he said to them, "Do you not understand this parable? Then how will you understand all the parables? Hear therefore the parable of the sower. The message of the parable is this. The seed is the word of God. The sower is sowing the word. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not comprehend it, then at once Satan, the wicked one, comes and snatches away that what was sown in the heart, lest he should believe and be saved. This is he who receives seed upon the roadside. And likewise he receives seed on the rocky places. This is he who hears the word, and he at once receives it gladly, yet he has no root in himself, and believes and continues only a little while. Then later, when adversity arises or persecution on account of the word, he is caused to stumble immediately and fall away. He also receives seed among the thorns as he who, on hearing the word, goes his way, and the cares of the world and the pleasures of life, the seductiveness of riches and passionate desires for other things, enter in and choke the word, and it is made unfruitful. It brings no fruit to completion. But he receives seed upon the good soil as he who, hearing the word, is an honest and good heart, welcomes and understands it, and holds it fast, and with patience bears fruit indeed, and brings forth some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100-fold.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
You may be seated as well, but congregation, you may be seated. I love it when our students participate. It's what Family Integrated is all about. All right, keep this in front of you as we study the Word of God today. Quick question, why is it that in Christian circles and in churches, we get so impatient with results? Maybe it's part of the American way, maybe it's part of the American thinking, but we get impatient. We say, I want results right now. Whatever outreach we're doing, whatever witnessing we're doing, we expect people, when we witness to them, to respond, and we get results, but we don't. And we're wondering, what are we doing wrong, or what's not working, and what's the definition of working? And it's frustrating. I know I get discouraged. Sometimes I get frustrated. Lord, I mean, we're passing these out. We're talking to people about the gospel. We're, you know, asking them about what's going on in their life so we can share the word of God. But there doesn't seem to be much interest. And if we look at statistics, you know, in terms of salespeople know that if you're going to do some cold calling, what are the actual numbers of responses when a cold call, right? What's a cold call response? Best you can hope for is 4%. Best. So it's usually between 1 and 4%. So a salesperson knows I got to make 100 phone calls in order to just get 4 people to buy my product. And so we get discouraged after 10 times or 20 times. We get discouraged after 50 times, say, I'm going to give up, Lord. I'm not going to do this anymore. Well, this passage of scripture, this parable that we're looking at, gives us great encouragement. Don't give up. Don't get impatient. Understand that there are people that you're going to talk to who have hardened hearts, hardened soil, and you need to understand that not everybody is going to respond immediately the way you want them to. I really need that encouragement. I think you need that encouragement as well. It doesn't mean they're always going to stay hardened. Sometimes the Lord will work on their heart later on and soften their soil, so to speak, according to this parable that he has in front of us today. So here's our title. Are you producing 100-fold or 60-fold or even 30-fold? What are you producing if you are that wheat that is put within the ground? And so the main point of our topic today, let's put that on the screen. Don't get discouraged. Just don't get discouraged when witnessing. So let's dig into this passage of scripture, have it in front of you. It's going to make a couple of points as we look through this really quickly, and then we'll have some application points later on. He said, don't you understand this parable? Come on, if you don't understand this parable, how are you going to understand the ones that are coming next? The ones that are coming next are harder to understand. I'm going to reveal kingdom secrets. This is all about revealing the kingdom. And for the children of Israel at that time, they understood the kingdom. What's the kingdom? The kingdom of Israel for them was what King David had. It's what King David and Solomon, they were on top of the world, and Israel was on top of the world, and it was peaceful, it was wonderful, it was holy, David's heart was one after God, so it was a wonderful time, and they're hoping for the reintroduction of that kind of kingdom, the kingdom of God. And so when Jesus talks about the kingdom of God, that's what they're thinking. But he's going to have to add to it. He's going to have to add secrets. It's not a physical kingdom. It is a spiritual kingdom. So he's going to reveal secrets to the followers of what the kingdom is all about. So here we have Jesus preaching from Peter's boat, most likely by the Sea of Galilee. And who knows, a couple thousand people out there on the hillside listening to Christ preach these parables, speak these parables. So they listen to this parable. So maybe 10 or 20% of that crowd is like the disciples. They want to follow Jesus. Maybe, we don't know. But a good 80% perhaps are just, we don't want to hear any more. So they're hearing this parable that Jesus is telling them. A sower goes out to sow. Maybe there was someone on the hillside doing exactly that. A sower goes out to sow, and he's spreading his seed out on the ground. Some of the seed falls on the pathway. It's like concrete. It's just all trodden down. There's no way for it to germinate. Some of it falls on rocky ground where there's just a little bit of soil, but it's on top of limestone. Some of the seed falls on top of in soil that's choked with weeds, and some falls on good soil. He's done. So the majority of the crowd thinks to themselves, what was that about? What was that about? What is he talking about? Is he talking about how to farm? We already know how to farm. And so it was just thrown out there like bait. It's like bait. Are you interested in more? I'll explain more if you're interested. If you want to follow up on what I just shared with you, I've got a little group over here on the side who will listen and who will ask me questions. Of course, most of them didn't. And a minority did. Disciples and a few others who gathered around. So as we look through this passage of Scripture, Jesus is going to explain it to his disciples, and that's what we're looking at today. And follow along as we think about the application and the points in this passage of Scripture. When we talk about the seed is the Word of God, let's start with that. Put number one up. It is the Word of God that has power to sprout new life. A lot of you like to plant flowers. A lot of you like to plant vegetables. And every year you say, isn't this a glorious miracle? Yeah, it is. You put that seed in the ground and water it a little bit, fertilize it a little bit, and look what happens. Woo! It's exciting. It's a miracle of God's beautiful nature. But here, as Jesus explains it, it's the Word. It's the Word spoken. It's a seed that goes into a person's heart, and depending on the soil, it's going to sprout. It's going to do something. But it's the Word of God. How can I emphasize this? It's the power of the Word. When we witness to somebody, and we try to use all kinds of techniques and methods and ways to get them excited or attracted or into our churches, we got this, we got that, we got this program, we got that program. No, it's the Word. It's the Word. It's the Word that has the power. So let's put this scripture passage up on the screen, which is Isaiah 55, verses 10 through 11. For as the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return there back, but water the earth, making it bring forth and sprout, giving seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes out from my mouth. It shall not return to me empty, but it shall accomplish that which I purpose and shall succeed in the thing for which I sent it. The gospel word. We spent quite a bit of time talking about that right now. The gospel word. It's the gospel that has power. Not manipulation. Not promises. If you do this, God will bless you. If you accept Christ as Lord, he's going to, prosper you. No. It's the gospel. How come so many churches have abandoned the gospel? Go to a church and they offer the purpose-driven life. Well, I'm sure Rick Warren had really good intentions, but But you can scour his book. Go from top to bottom, front to back, and look for the gospel in the purpose-driven life. How can you have a purpose-driven life without the gospel? But here's the gospel in Rick Warren's book, The Purpose-Driven Life. Listen very carefully, and after you listen, tell me what's missing. You're discerning people, you know. I quote, first believe. Believe what? Believe God loves you. That's what you need to believe. Believe God loves you and made you for his purposes. Believe God has chosen you to have a relationship with Jesus who died on the cross for you. Believe that no matter what you've done, God wants to forgive you. So second, and then believe that, but then second, receive Jesus into your life as your Lord and Savior. But that's undefined. What do you mean by that? Receive then his forgiveness for your sins. That's the gospel in the purpose-driven life. Quote, I quote from the book, so I invite you now to bow your head and quietly whisper the prayer that will change your eternity. This prayer will change your eternity. What is that prayer? Jesus, I believe in you and I receive you. That's the gospel, according to Rick Warren. And then he says, if you sincerely meant that prayer that you just said, then congratulations. Welcome to the family of God. Really? What was missing in that gospel presentation? What's not there in that gospel presentation? You know what's not there. The whole aspect, well, a lot of aspects, but number one, repentance. You're a sinner. You're a vile, guilty sinner in rebellion against a holy God, and his wrath is already on you. When Peter preached that sermon to the people in Jerusalem, then they said, what should we do? And Peter said in Acts 2:38, repent, repent. Yeah, repent. So the word that we're talking about here from heaven, word that Jesus is saying is being spread out by gospel sowers on various kinds of soils. The word that Jesus is talking about planting into people's hearts is all about heaven, but it's also about hell. It's about sin and specific sins and how because of that sin you are already under God's wrath and you will face him someday. There's a judgment day coming. That's all part of that seed, the gospel seed that has to germinate. If it's not that, then it's not going to germinate. It's not going to sprout. So there needs to be condemnation, there needs to be repentance, there needs to be sin, there needs to be facts about heaven and hell and God's wrath and God's judgment, and in order to bring about that repentant heart. Turn in your Bibles, or just look on the screen, at 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Here's the seed. Here it is, 1 Corinthians 15. When we're talking about the seed, what are we talking about? This is the gospel. In case you forgot, Paul says, I'll remind you what it is. He says, now I'd remind you, brothers, of the gospel. This is it. The gospel I preached to you, which you received, and in which you now stand, and by which you are being saved. It's not a one-time moment that happened at conversion, but you're being sanctified day by day. If you hold fast to the word I preach to you, what's that word? What's that seed? What's the gospel seed? For I delivered to you as of first importance what I also received. Here's the gospel. Christ died for our sins. So, in a gospel presentation, are you a sinner? Have you rebelled against God? Have you lied? Have you stolen? Have you lusted? Have you coveted? Have you not made God first in your life? Have you had other idols? Let's talk about that. Those sins Christ paid for in full at the cross. And that's the gospel message. You have to hear it. Christ died for your sins in accordance with prophetic scriptures. And then he was buried so that your life, your old life, could be buried as well. We talked about that, didn't we? Your old life, gone. Put a big old X on your old memories. It's gone. Buried. And that he was raised on the third day in accordance with the scriptures, because a resurrection is God's stamp of approval on his death and his burial, and God smiling upon his son saying, yes, yes, it's done. All of you are far too familiar with gospel presentations, with evangelists who are hungry to get decisions for Christ. There's one local evangelist who keeps emailing me and says, 1 million came to Christ at our last crusade. 1 million? 1 million? Wow. That'd be wonderful if it's true. But Young Life, Youth for Christ, even Campus Crusade, youth pastors, you might have an emotional weekend or a great week at camp, and I love camp. But emotional pitches to accept Jesus, and if you hear their testimonies at after camp weekend, and they come back to church, I accepted Jesus. What does that mean? I asked Jesus to be in my heart. What does that mean? Unless the gospel is specifically told to that student and they recognize it's nothing I did, it's all that he did for me on the cross, and I'm bowing before his glorious throne because I am rescued from my eternity in hell and given a reprieve or given new life. That's the gospel. So what we hear oftentimes, no, it's not the gospel. Even Bill Bright, great man, but when he wrote the Four Spiritual Laws, how's it start? God has a wonderful plan for your life? No. Or Joel Osteen's book, Your Best Life Now? No. It's not your best life now. It's a hard life. It's a life of suffering, Paul said. He said, can't even compare our present sufferings with what's coming, but we're going to suffer as Christians. So what's the word? 1 Corinthians 15. Christ died for your sins. Bow before him and be glad that he paid the price. Number two. So we're talking about the soils. So soil number one, soil number two, number three, number four. And I'm so glad Jesus did this. He said, okay, now when you're going to talk to people, they're going to come to you, and the soil, of course, is their heart. So what condition is their heart in? Is it hardened like the path, like concrete? Is it like on top of limestone so it's not going to get root? Is it amongst thorns? Is it good soil? What kind of heart soil are they bringing to you when you talk to them about the gospel? Here's what he says. Some recipients will find the gospel illogical. Illogical. And what Jesus is saying when he explains his parable, he says, then Satan will use their pride to get them to dismiss it. When anyone hears, he says, here's what Jesus says, when anyone hears the word of God, word of the kingdom, and does not comprehend it, then at once Satan, the wicked one, comes and snatches it away. Because that what was sown in their heart, lest he should be believed, and lest he should believe and be saved. This is he who received upon the roadside or the pathway, or we would call it like concrete today. There's no germination there. But the word comprehend it, in your text there in front of you, comprehend. If you look it up in Greek, it means in your mind. So it's the word soon, which means together in Greek, and nuento, which means mind. So it means putting two things together in your mind and attach them. So you've attached these two concepts together, and they make sense. So in this passage of Scripture, what Jesus is saying is they're trying to put two concepts together in their mind, and it doesn't fit. They don't come together. They don't get it. It doesn't make any sense to them. It's illogical. And I think that's what he's trying to say. And so what kind of people are that today? What group is that? I think there's the majority of people in America today who've been taught through our school system the whole philosophy of evolution, right? So evolution is how we all came to be as a human race, and that's, you know, our Earth is billions and millions of years old, galaxies are billions and millions of years old, and it all came about by chance. There really is no God. So we're all teaching our kids to be good atheists. And when you die, you die. So that is the overwhelming philosophy of our culture today, that our children are educated in our schools. It all happened by chance. There is no God. When you die, period. So that is their concept. That's their construct for everything. And when we come along and say, no, you're a sinner, there really is a God, and he's going to hold you accountable someday on Judgment Day for your sins against him, there's no way for these two concepts to find an attachment. It's illogical. They cannot comprehend it. They cannot understand it. So, how do you witness to them? I think the best way to witness to them is to approach them and say, look around you. Do you believe there's a God? Is there a God? Who made those trees? Who made those stars? Who made that sky? Who made that ocean? Who made those mountains? And get them to try and think a little bit. So you're penetrating that philosophy that they've been educated with, that it all happened by chance. It's impossible. That's illogical itself. No way. No way. Use illustrations. You're going to throw the parts of a watch in a washing machine to expect the, you know, watch to come out? That's a good watchmaker argument. You can't. Can't. So that's a good way to witness to this group of people who think it's totally illogical. The next soil, first one was a path, so it's really hard. It's like concrete. But the second soil, put point number three up in front, other recipients will accept the gospel, will accept it, but it's a superficial gospel. They'll accept part of it. When they hear a gospel message and say, if you accept Jesus Christ as Lord, he wants to be your friend, you're going to be prosperous, you'll be successful, he'll heal you, you'll be wealthy, you'll be healing, they jump on board. I like that. So maybe the presenter shared the complete gospel, but they only heard parts of it. That's a possibility. They only heard the benefits, not the sacrifice. That's a possibility. Because here's what Jesus says. He says, and likewise, he who receives seed on rocky places, so that's limestone over there, just a tiny little bit of soil on top, maybe an inch, maybe, or less. This is he who hears the word and at once receives it gladly. It sprouts quickly. Had to be some moisture in that soil. Yet he has no root in himself, and believes and continues only a little while. Then later, when adversity arises or persecution on account of the word, he is caused to stumble immediately, and he falls away. We've seen people like that all the time. They accept Christ. 6 months later, after just, Yeah, I love this. This is great, 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 great. And all of a sudden, boom, they're unemployed. Well, God didn't come through for me. I'm giving up on him. That's what Jesus said to the crowd after he fed the 5,000, John chapter 6, verse 26. They came back and they wanted more. And Jesus said, truly, truly, I say to you, you're seeking me not because you saw signs, but because you ate your fill of the loaves and fish, and you want more of the same. Lots of people out there like that. I'll accept Christ if he does what I want him to do. The next group, point number four, other recipients will accept half a gospel. Half a gospel. They want to serve Jesus, but they also want to serve money. Money. Here's how Jesus said it. He also who receives seed among the thorns is he who on hearing the word goes away, and the cares of this world and the pleasures of this life, the seductiveness of riches and passionate desire for other things enter in and choke the word, and it's made unfruitful. It brings no fruit to completion. So Jesus is Lord, maybe, but money is Lord. And when Jesus commands me to sacrifice for the cause of the kingdom, no. Make him Lord, no. I've got my other priorities. And that's what Paul says in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 9 and 10. But those who desire to be rich fall into a temptation, right? Into a snare, into many senseless and harmful desires that plunge people into ruin and into destruction for the love of money. Not money, the love of money. It's a root of all kinds of evils, plural, evils. It is through this craving that some have wandered away from the faith, just like Jesus said they would, and pierced themselves with many pangs. Love it, love it, love it. But, oh, I want what the world has to offer. One of you was sharing with me, a loved one is dying, passing away, or soon to pass away, and the relatives are gathering like vultures, gathering like vultures. Who's going to get what? What? Ugly. Greed is ugly. But then the good soil, number five. There's 1 Timothy. But number five, put number five up on the screen. Other recipients will receive the gospel gladly and humbly with no divided heart. Oh, they love Jesus. So glad he paid the price. So glad he's their Savior. So happy. And continue to be happy and continue to tell others about Christ. Here's how Jesus said it. But he who receives seed upon the good soil is he who, hearing the word in an honest and good heart, welcomes and understands it. There's the comprehension. There's coming together. Understands it and holds it fast. And with patience, that's key, with patience. Circle that somewhere in your notes or even in your Bible. With patience. Because it's not immediate. Because this person is going to share his faith as well, but he's going to have four different kinds of people coming to him, or he's going to have four different kinds of relatives that he's trying to witness to, and he's going to be impatient because they're not responding immediately. And so with patience, we share the gospel. And over time, here's what's going to happen. With patience, that true believer is going to bear fruit. Indeed, it's going to bring forth fruit. Some are going to bring forth 30-fold, some 60, and some even 100. So what is this yield that Christ is talking about? Some 30, some 60. Some 100. What is that? What is he talking about? Well, some commentators will say, it's the fruit of the Spirit. It's the fruit of the Spirit. It's going to grow in that person's life. Really? How can you make that tangible? You know, I got 30 more love blessings in my life, or I got 60 more patient, you know, it just doesn't compute. It's not to me fruit of the Spirit. Others say it's character. It's character building. It's so people are growing in Christ. They're being sanctified day by day, and God's working on them. And so the character of a Christian is just blossoming in their life. No, this is numerical. This has numbers to it. You know, it's just 30, 60, 100. No, I disagree with that. I say what this is. I say it's disciples. Reproducing disciples. True believers who are excited about their faith, who are sharing their faith and putting their lives into other people, making disciples. That's what I think this is. And so over time, be patient with this process. So you're gonna witness to your family, and they're gonna hear your testimony, and maybe 5 years later or 10 years later, God's gonna bring about some fruit. And guess what? Those people are gonna be excited too, and they're gonna produce fruit. And wouldn't it be great? Just think about this. Okay, in my lifetime, in your lifetime, Maybe there's 100 people in my life who accepted Christ as a result of my sharing the gospel with them. And maybe some of them are going to reproduce 30. Some of them are going to reproduce 60. And it's all about reproduction. It's all about multiplication. That's what Jesus is talking about. Making disciples of Christ. What's your yield? What's your yield? Important question. A couple application points. Number one, hardened soils don't have to stay hard. In other words, that person might have a hard soil now, don't want to hear. Maybe a relative, might be a child. But God can soften soils. It's not in this passage, but I got other scriptures to show that. God can soften hearts. That's his specialty. So don't put people in the category that they'll stay there forever. So pray without ceasing for your loved ones, because those hearts might get soft. And then secondly, check the hardness of your own soil or your own heart. Keep it loamy, as we say, peat moss there, spiritual peat moss, whatever you want to call it. It's fertile ground for the Holy Spirit to work his will. And then third, I think this is the most important. Ask yourself, I ask me, the hard question. Hard question. If I'm a true Christian, and true Christians reproduce themselves like grain reproduces itself, are you reproducing? Are you sowing seed? Patty and I keep looking for ways to get the word out, you know, to invite, but also to enter into conversations about the gospel. There's got to be more ways. It's got to be more. And we're asking ourselves the question, where can we go? Where can we interact with people? It's not enough the way we're doing it now. We got to find more venues, as we say. So ask yourself that question. Are you finding venues? Are you looking for ways to share the gospel? I love the True Life cards. They're great, but they're just a conversation starter is all they are. Use them for deeper gospel presentations. Jim, come and close your time in prayer. It's been a good time in morning.